All right. I hope all of you had a good night's rest, and we're looking forward to a good day today. I am. And this short devotional, I have to talk really fast. There it is. Now, can you hear me back in the back? All right. Praise the Lord. Okay. I was reading the other day some stupid advice for families. And one person said, it's healthy to have a good fight now and then to keep the relationship lively. Now, that's dumb. But that was somebody. Somebody said this, use the fight itself as a way of building your own feelings of self-worth. If you have very little else to feel good about, then at least you can feel good about your fighting ability. I mean, that's people that have failed and are just trying to look for something to keep from committing suicide, I guess. But if the children refuse to clean up their rooms, just close the door and stop looking at the mess. Well, that's a solution, isn't it? If you're fighting, simply leave the room for a short time when you feel the same old fight pattern begin to emerge. And then when your children are having a dispute, simply go to your bedroom, shut the door, and read until the request for you to resolve the arguments are over. Those are really silly, aren't they? Really dumb. And man, there's solutions to our problems that are a whole lot better than those things. But somebody said being married is like having a best friend who can't remember anything you say. That's the only one that has a lot of truth in it, probably, that I read. But I'm supposed to speak for just a few moments on giving your heart to your spouse. I have a message that I preach periodically on how to get the heart of your children, but giving your heart to your spouse. All of us understand that it's more fun to give presents to your children on Christmas than it is for you to get them. You've learned that verse that says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And we understand that, but then when it gets to your marriage relationship, you don't like that too much, and we have a selfish streak in us. And unless you or your spouse give to each other, then you'll not have a whole lot of happiness in your home. Whenever your spouse is kind to you, it is pretty nice to express some gratitude to your spouse whenever they express kindness to you. Give your heart to your spouse. That's unselfishness. And forget about your own happiness and be kind to your wife or your husband. And it's kind of like in the Bible, it says that if you want to have friends, be friendly. And while you're being friendly, then you'll get friends. If you want to get things, be generous and give things away. It doesn't make any sense, but give and it shall be given unto you, good measure and pressed down, shaken together. And folks, if we give of ourselves to our spouse, then it returns accidentally to you. You automatically get blessed because of it. The love for your spouse ought to be expressed every day. Every day. You can ask my wife if you want, but almost every meal that we have, at the end of the meal, I'll look at my wife and say, thank you so much for fixing this meal for us. And just a little thought there to express my appreciation to my wife for spending all the time making the meal. And I tell you what, she's a pretty good cook, too. And it's hard for me to not weigh 300 or 400 pounds with as good a cook as she is. Do you know that the greatest gift that you can give to your children is to be good to their mother. Be kind to their mother. Do you know, actually, however you treat your wife is probably the way your sons are going to treat their wife one of these days. And if you're really kind and generous and thoughtful and appreciative to your wife, that's the way they'll treat their wife later. If you're the opposite of that, then you may be trying to counsel your sons to keep them from getting a divorce because they treat their wife so rotten. And so you can just love their mother and be good to them. Each person in the home should be treated with respect and kindness. Every one of them should be. You ought to not show any favorites in your home. I have six children, and I have these 26 grandkids. Whenever I see them, I say, "Man, Melody, you're in the top 26 of my grandkids." And love them all the same. And then show your affection toward them. Give them a hug. Now, the boys shake hands, you know, and if you give a hug, make it pretty awkward, you know, or whatever. But mostly shake hands with the fellas. But sarcasms and put-downs are not allowed. We don't allow that. You don't tell your brother off or say smart aleck things to your sister and things like that. You just don't do that. Also, parents ought not to be sarcastic toward each other because that rubs off on your kids too. I mean, even if you can handle it, then it has a bad effect. There are millions of people who need a little kindness. It ought to start with your own family. Families should go to church together and worship together. It was never, ever a question in my home. None of my kids ever asked me, says, "Well, do we have to go to church today?"
We wanted to.
But... Yeah, they amen. All right, 1 point for you. I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ is the glue that holds your family together. And if your children realize that God is real to you and that you love your wife or your husband and so on, all of that stuff is contagious to your children. And it says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy might." And so time for Christian activities and family activities together is so important. Don't be so busy that you don't have time for your children. And time for your wife. It was nice to have a date night last night. Only trouble is, most of the time that I had date night, I did not take my son and his wife along with me. You know? We ought to spend time with our family. Place a high priority on building memories. If I had time, I could spend a couple hours just telling you about memories that we've done together. I took all of my boys moose hunting up in northern Canada one time. Man, we had a great time. Took all of my boys to Israel. Spent a week, 14 days over in Israel. Took all of my boys to the Grand Tetons. We all flew there in different planes and arrived together and climbed the Grand Teton together. Every two or three years, we were doing something together. Just as a family, building some memories. And we get together then, and we can talk about all of those things, and we can laugh and play and just really enjoy talking about some of the experiences that we have had together. And you need to build some of those things. Eat together and talk to each other when you're eating together and so on. Christianity ought not to be something that you tuck into your lives on Sunday, but Christianity ought to be a 7 day a week thing. You know, Monday ought to be just as exciting serving God as it is on Sunday. And so don't be a fake. Your children will see through it just like that. And if you are different on Sunday than you are on Monday through Saturday, your children will see it. They won't want anything to do with God because they don't want to be in that false life all of their lives. So be real with your children and be real in your Christianity. If your husband is leading in devotions like he should, then the wife should support the effort. Children need to know that both of you are on the same page concerning that. Smile and be enthusiastic about the times of devotions, and your children will get enthusiastic about it too. And they'll start loving devotions. Hey, are we having devotions tonight? You know, every night, my daughter is 51 years old, and every night she'd say, hey, we're going to have prayer together? Well, of course we're going to have prayer together, you know, but she always comes and reminds us and things like that. Now, be interested in the things that your spouse is interested in. For instance, if your husband likes golf, well, then be interested in his golf game. I mean, when he gets home from golf, ask him what his score was. Now, of course, he'll be tempted to lie about that, you know, so on. But be interested in that thing. And it wouldn't be really too bad if you even tried to play a little bit. Now, of course, you'll never get as good as your husband but on playing the game. But be good to take it up a little bit. So be interested in his hobbies like that. If a wife has a hobby, be interested in her hobby, husbands. For instance, my wife loves to go to secondhand stores. And, you know, to tell you the truth, I can take it or leave it. It doesn't matter to me much. But to tell you the truth, I have become somewhat interested because one time I drove from Indiana halfway to New York, and I get about to Cleveland, and I realize I forgot and left my suit bag on the bed at home. Now, I didn't have any suits along with me at all, so I stopped at a Goodwill in Rochester, New York, on the way through, and found a Hart, Schaffner, and Marks suit for $25. That looked like it hadn't even been worn, and it fit me except for the length of the trousers, and I took them to a tailor that I knew, and he fixed them all up and so on for about 13 bucks, and so I had a brand new suit, you know, and found that at a junk store. Wow. And so, do you know what the fad is today? Is for everybody to wear brown shoes. Now, I can't understand why in your world you'd wear a blue suit and brown shoes. I think, good night, that guy's colorblind. You know? But that's the end thing, really. I mean, everybody, a lot of preachers, they get up, if they're wearing brown shoes, then, man, they're in. They're on the ball. And I found a pair of brown shoes in a junk store the other day that were brand new. They were Dockers, really good ones. And anyway, so I bought those things, and so one of these days when I get enough courage, I'm going to wear them with a blue suit or something like that. But they're real comfortable too, you know, so it's not bad for you to really enjoy your wife's hobbies and have her enjoy your hobbies. And let me just say that hobbies are not worth a marriage. And if it gets to be a problem, quit your stupid hobby. Stop your golfing. If she hates it and can't get on board, then do something else, you know, and vice versa. You know, we have a tendency to be selfish and want our own way and do our own thing and so on, and don't be doing that in your life. Show some wisdom. Show some wisdom in your life. Sometimes come to a happy medium. And if you have to, money ought to be handled wisely. Discuss it openly with each other. In my family, I handle all the money, the records and so on. I have it all on my computer. I don't have any secrets from my wife on the money. And if we have a problem, we discuss it together and try to adjust our spending to be staying within the budget. If you're living out of your budget, decrease your budget. Maybe you need to sell your house. Maybe you need to sell a car. Maybe you need to, whatever you need to do to live within your budget, whatever you make. You know, if you lost your job, you're probably not going to die. You're going to somehow figure out how to exist. Why don't you do that with your spending rather than getting in debt? The average person is about $9,000 or $10,000 in debt on their credit cards. Paying 20 or 25% interest, let me just say that if you're doing that, you're dumb. Man, you don't want to do that. Don't have that credit card debt. Well, I don't want to end on a being dumb thing there. So, but, you know, every household should share the task whenever, you know, your wife is not the maid of the house to do all the work in the house. And so divvy that up with yourself and also your children and so on. Help the children to learn how to mow the lawn and how to do the laundry, how to fold the clothes and how to empty the trash and how to take out garbage and how to keep the room clean, how to make their bed and vacuum and wash dishes and set the table and remove snow when it snows and sweep the garage and rake the yard and a thousand other things that you can teach them to do so that Mom doesn't have to do it all. I mean, she works her head off. My wife has gotten such a habit of working that she doesn't stop working. And it'd be nice if she'd probably just take a break and just sit down and with me. You know, I'm kind of lazy. I like to sit down and rest when it's time to rest. But anyway, I'm through confessing my sins. Kindness in a home is important. Treating your spouse the way you should like to be, we'd like to be treated, whether she deserves it or not. It might be that if you keep treating her sweet and nice, it might change her to where periodically she would deserve it then. But be nice to her. We all need a little kindness from our spouse. Constantly think of nice things that you can do for each other. Well, there's a lot of other things I could say, but I want to end up with this verse. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure and lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Always think, what does my spouse think? What would she want? What would he prefer? And be willing to change your plan. Forget about your wants. Forget about yourself. Think of your spouse. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be, that even while I kneel and pray, my prayer shall be for others. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless today's activities. And thank you for these sweet people, Lord. And pray that you would bless them today. And give them something, Lord, that would be helpful to them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.